We joined in just a second. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to jump on you there. By Pete Briscoe. He's going to join us. Senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. He'll join us soon on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Didn't mean to jump all over.
No. There. I thought you I keep looking to see if you got something to read.
No, I only have one thing today, which is nice. It's not like when we had those big concerts going on. I had 900 things to read every day.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to have old Pete join us here. We're just waiting on him here to get him on and talk a little bit. A lot of NFL news going on here, as always, during obviously the last quarter of the football season before the playoffs, and a lot of crazy stuff, including the Kaepernick stuff. Listen, it's not going away. Even the team came out, the Redskins had to talk about it as they keep signing more guys and more guys keep getting injured. They're signing guys now that been out of football for 2 or 3 years. They might be signing another guy that's been out like for 6 or 7 years. They're literally getting guys that got new jobs now doing other stuff going, oh, no, I have to quit. I got a chance to make big money in the NFL for 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. Anything not to have Mr. Kaepernick on the team. But we got that. Of course, all this stuff coming up, coming out about Aaron Rodgers right now has just been absolutely nuts. But right now we go to Pete Prisco. Nice enough to join us from CBS this morning. Pete, good morning. How you doing?
What's up, Joe? How are you?
Man, we're doing great. You know, we usually like to talk X's and O's, but when you get a little good drama from a coach that gets fired, that's been pretty damn good in Green Bay, and everybody starts pointing fingers towards the quarterback being a complete prima donna, and now last night we saw Winston Moss got let go because of his tweet about Aaron Rodgers and his lack of leadership. What's your take on what has gone on there and the way everything was handled?
Well, look, change was coming no matter what.
Right.
I mean, that was happening. And I'm sure they went to McCarthy and said, look, we're firing you after the season. Let's see what you know, would you like to do it now? And I'm sure they both agreed, let's do it now if we're going to happen after the season. So from that standpoint, I understand it. Now Mark McCarthy can get on and see if he can find a job somewhere. But, you know, they had a rift. I mean, let's be honest. It had fractured at some point along the way. And, you know, you hear the stories of Rodgers changing plays and, you know, making different play calls. And Mike McCarthy is a Pittsburgh guy. He's not going to take that stuff. And so I think it kind of got a little bit off the rails. And so a change had to be made. I get it. But Rodgers, it's not a good look for Aaron Rodgers, and it's not a good look for the organization to do what they did to Winston Moss the way he did.
Could Joe Philbin really get that coaching job? Could he get it after the season?
No way. No, I think they just said that.
You can ask the Dolphin guy.
Yeah, because that just shocked me when that even came out.
No, I mean, they got to get a young, creative, innovative coach to work with Rodgers. And I can see where his frustration comes from. I mean, they're a team that's playing that West Coast system where they line up and have those ISO routes and that's all they do. And so for me, I think you got to look at it from that standpoint. Change needs to happen there. They need to get on with it and get with a different type of coach. And so get some movement, pre-snap movement and you know, bunch formations and picks and rubs. You know, gone are the days when they could line up and win one-on-one outside. And they don't. Adams could do it, but then he has the double over the top, and nobody else is winning. They're all young kids, and they don't understand the offense. So I think you have to get with the times to get like Sean McVay and get like, you know, Matt Nagy and get like, you know, even Andy Reid, who's morphed into this creative coach. Because if you just line up and try and win with your receivers in ISO situations, it's not happening anymore.
No, I agree. No, I totally agree. There got to be a lot of people looking at their offenses to see if they're not – little outdated besides just the talent. Let me ask you this one. What's a better job, Cleveland or Green Bay? I keep hearing that for somebody that might be wanted. Do you like a young Baker Mayfield, or do you go in with a guy that's as good as there is in the game right now in Aaron Rodgers? Which situation you like better?
I'll take the Rodgers situation. Other than the fact you have to live in Green Bay, but I'm not so sure people think Cleveland is much better.
Right.
I mean, I take Rodgers. I'm taking the best of the business, and I'm taking my chances with him. And you know, quite frankly, he needs to, improve in his play, too. So a checkdown's not bad, but I think some of that has to do with the fact that the defense is a bit bad. He presses, and he has to make the big play instead of just taking the checkdown. And and dropping it off for a 6-yard gain instead of always trying to look for that, you know, 60-yard rifle shot down the field. But I would take Green Bay.
Do you ever think Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson would have a job before Colin Kaepernick did?
Yeah, you know, look, it's unfair to these quarterbacks. Look, Kaepernick's situation is a set aside. Whatever happens, he's going to be suing the league, and there's obviously some kind of situation there. He's probably going to win. Colin Kaepernick should be in the National Football League, period. But it's almost unfair. Every time one of these quarterbacks gets fined, everybody, oh, well, what about Kaepernick? What about Kaepernick? What about Kaepernick? What about Kaepernick? I mean, on and on. If I'm a player, one time I'd stand up and say, hey, look, I'm here taking care of me. I'm trying to handle myself. I got to hear this every time I sign a contract. You know? I mean, look, Kaepernick should be in the league. There's no question about it. But it's unreal. The more he's out of the league, the more he morphs from Colin Kaepernick into Joe Montana and Dan Marino combination. Look, he was a serviceable quarterback in the National Football League. After they figured out, you know, his running, you know, style, and he had to stay in the pocket, he was okay. That's what he was. He should be in the league. He should be playing in the league. Maybe he should even be starting in the league. So he's got a case. But it's unfair to all these guys. Every time somebody signs a contract, oh, look at him, look at him. They just demean the heck out of the guy. Look, there's reasons he's not in the league. There's reasons he's probably going to win a settlement against the NFL. But it's unfair to all these quarterbacks who sign for them to sit there and constantly bash them every time somebody signs a contract.
Pete, kind of a nice story in Baltimore. I did not see it coming. Lamar Jackson in this running offense and a great defense, and Baltimore all of a sudden looking pretty good shape. Do they stay with Lamar Jackson? Are we going to see a combo of Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson? How will they treat that in these last few games?
Well, I said this the other day. Would Joe Flacco have beat the Raiders and the Bengals, two of the worst defenses in the league, at home, and then the Falcons with a defensive performance that limited the Falcons under 200 yards? And the answer to that question is probably yes. So should he stay in? Ooh, that's debatable, because the kid is electrifying with his legs. He's fun to watch. He's limited as a passer right now. And he turned the ball over once that turned into a touchdown and fumbled three times the other day.
Yeah.
So I do think he stays in, you know, until Flacco's 100%. And there's a big test this week at Kansas City. I mean, the Kansas City defense isn't very good. The Ravens' defense is very good. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out this week, because I think the Ravens, we know what they do. They like to blitz. And Martindale's one of those guys that likes to attack, attack, attack. And I think that's the book on facing Patrick Mahomes, is if you go after him instead of standing there and letting him carve you up and make it a slow death, go after him and take your shots. Take a few chances now and then.
I just want to get your take on what happened yesterday with Urban Meyer. And I guess the big question now, he's been a great coach. I guess nobody can say he hadn't been a really good college football coach, one of the best. You see him coaching again? You wouldn't be surprised if he came back again at 54 years old at some point, right?
Yeah, he's not young. I mean, he's not an old guy. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he coached again. And look, he has the cyst on his brain. And clearly during the season, the stress of the season, the stress of all the stuff before the season, which he was involved with, by the way, and had some doing, it seemed to wear on him a little bit. So maybe time away will help him. I don't believe the fact that at 54 he's going to retire. I mean, you know how these coaches are. They can't sit still, and they're going to have to do something, and they're going to have to coach. So
right.
I think he coaches again. Does he go to the National Football League? I mean, that's a legitimate question. Does Urban Meyer take the next step and try the NFL?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good coach in the NFL.
Yeah, me too.
The problem is, you know, remember at Florida, look at the guys he had on his team at Florida. He could recruit like crazy. I mean, he was one of the best guys at getting players there. That team that won the title with, you know, Aaron Hernandez and Percy Harvin and
Pouncey's, yeah, loaded.
Yeah. I mean, they were loaded. So, yeah, I do think it would be different in the NFL, but I think he's smart enough and successful enough to figure it out. I think he'd be a good NFL coach.
Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com, joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Kareem Hunt, your best guess on when is he going to play in the NFL again, and when do you think that happens?
I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time bringing him into my building. I mean, you don't ever put your hands on a woman. You just don't. And you know, with the way things are nowadays, how do you justify bringing him in? And everybody says, well, Reuben Foster, they got killed for that. They should have got killed for that. But there's no tape of it.
Right.
There's tape of this. There's video evidence of this. And it's just you know, it's repulsive, it's disgusting, it shouldn't happen. And how do you justify bringing that in? I'd have a hard time bringing him in and saying to my fan base, okay, we're putting aside what he did, and we're going to sign him for the good of the team. It's just, for me, I can't do that. I wouldn't do that. Will he play again? Maybe. I mean, but you saw he cleared waivers. Nobody was picking him up and taking on that PR disaster right away.
Pete, I'm not picking on the NFL. I do, and I'm not a huge Roger Goodell fan, but whatever. But I'm curious, do you like the way the league's handled this situation? Or is
this,
it?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, how do you not get that tape? Well, first off, the police department didn't look at the tape because there were no charges filed.
Right.
Remember, there's no charges filed in this case. So, but if you're the NFL and you're investigating it, how do you not get that? How do you not get that? I mean, I just don't get it. You know this, Joe, because you've been around the league. Those security guys that work for the teams, I used to call a guy in Jacksonville the eraser, because they can get whatever they want, yep, how they want, when they want it. And so if they really wanted to get it, it wasn't like it happened in a city where there's no NFL team. It happened in a city where there's an NFL team. Go lean on the guy in that city. He has connections to the police department. The police department can go lean on the hotel to get the video. If you really wanted to get the video, you could have got the video. So, yeah, they fumbled. They botched it. And, you know, police department might have botched it, too, by not going and taking a closer look at the video.
Yeah.
But, again, there were no charges filed, so the police department probably said, okay, they're not going to file charges. Why do we got to go make the effort to go do it?
You're right, though. These teams now, we got a guy now down here that is so overqualified for this job, it's a joke. He literally can find out stuff from terrorists over in Europe and stuff, man. Like, oh, no, he's still out there. We know where he is. And like, hey, how the hell do you know? Yeah, these guys are getting in now to run these teams, and they can get anything they need, man. It's I totally agree. That was a weak one. Hey, by the way, if I was to ask you right now, Super Bowl, who's the two best teams in football after what we've seen recently, where are you going?
Well, do the playoffs go through L.A. or New Orleans?
That's a good one.
I think
home field.
If the playoffs go through New Orleans, I think it's the Saints. If the playoffs go through L.A., I think it's the Rams in the NFC. I think those are the two teams in the NFC. And then in the AFC, how do you go against the Patriots? I mean, how do you? You just don't. You can't.
We learn every year, don't we?
That's right.
We learn the hard way every year.
And every year it's the same thing. Defense gets better in December. We saw that last week against the Vikings. The playmakers come back healthy. They start spreading the football around. Brady becomes Brady, and there they are. And so for me, until they prove me differently, I'm taking Brady and Belichick.
Pete, before we let you go, Jacksonville, the most disappointing team in the league so far?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And I mean, look, you saw what happened last week against Luck is something that should have played out over the course of the entire season. So something was wrong there. I mean, they had the talent on defense. They shut out Andrew Luck. He threw 3 touchdown passes in 8 straight games, and they shut him out. That tells you that the talent on the defensive side of the football is there. So something went wrong because the defense had all kinds of – you know, people want to blame Blake Bortles all they want, but the defense was busting coverages everywhere. I think those guys got a little caught up in themselves, didn't keep their nose in the playbook, and it, you know, caught up with them. But when they want to play, that defense could be darn good.
Hey, Pete, did you go back to Coral Springs when you moved to town? I had somebody ask me. Did you go back up?
No. Have I been there? I've been there, but I don't live there. No,
I was wondering if you went back home again, up to Parkland, Coral Springs area, no?
No, I don't live up in that area, but I lived out in Fort Lauderdale. I'm not one of those guys that wants to go live in the suburbs. So come on, I gotta go get out at night. Me and my wife, we go out, we hit the town, we pay the town.
Pete's not lying. Let me tell you something, Pete. I didn't want to bug you, but I was at Riptide this weekend also, and I saw Pete walking around with the wife. Yeah.
Did he have a little Corona in his hand?
Walking around with the wife with a drink in my hand.
That's right. Pete was enjoying himself. That's it.
And by the way, courtesy of Hockman, he hooked me up. He got me some good tickets.
I was walking around with Hockman, and Hockman went over and said hi, and I'm like, I don't want to bug Pete. Yeah.
Did he VIP you?
Why didn't you come say hello?
I was walking with Hawk when he came and said hello to you. That's it.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. All right, well, see, he is enjoying himself. He wasn't one of those guys that just comes on and says it.
Pete's enjoying South Florida life,
that's right,
man. That's good.
That's right.
Pete, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Pete Briscoe, CBS Sports. I was walking around with Hawk on Friday night, and I turned to the right, and there he was. Pete and his wife walking around holding a couple beers.
Getting a little light buzz and enjoying some music.
Yeah, not working. Out there enjoying himself with Riptide.
We got Bobby Boogner coming up. Booger, the boogeyman. I was going to call him I did a combination of Booger and boogeyman. The boogeyman's going to join us. He's fired up today. I would, too.
Love getting him after a win.
My goalie
comes
back and has 33 saves, and they have a couple of power. Their power play right now is just as good as anybody's.
Good.
They're just friggin' on fire. Just got to keep winning games, man. So we'll talk to the coach coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Certain, yes.
Do you anticipate staying in Columbus and being around the program?
I love Columbus. I love Muirfield, where I live. I've always been a Buckeye as long as I can remember. Gene Smith, our relationship has always been good. It's over the top now. And I trust him with my life, and our families are very close. And so when he says jump, I still say I'm going to still call him boss, and however I can help this. I believe in Ohio State. I believe in the spirit when you walk around this campus. I believe in Buckeye Nation because I lived it my entire life. I believe that this is a different place. And I want to help in any way I can. And I believe in our new head coach. I've had to deal with headaches for many years, and it came to a head in 2014 and then again last year and then this year as well. So as a difficult time that was, that didn't have an impact as much on the headaches, but it did have an impact.
Jump! Jump!
How high? How high you want me to jump?
I will say this. That was Urban Meyer yesterday. I love that we always, we do this. We're all guilty of this in the media.
You think you're coming back again?
I just retired. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. If he comes back in 5 or 6 years, so what? Are we going to go, the liar, he came back. I'm 59 years old. He decided to come back. You lied to him. No, I feel better.
I mean, he takes a job for next season, then he's a liar.
I friggin' miss it.
Yeah.
I don't care when you come back.
I mean, if he's coaching a team next year and it's not Ohio State, you don't think that's a little fraudulent?
I don't.
I do. I think it's ridiculous.
These guys, I'll say it again, most of them can't stay out of football.
That I agree with you.
Once they're in, and if he gets the itch, not only to, because here's what happens to a lot of these guys, and you've seen it, Butch Davis tried it. He didn't get you don't get enough. The TV doesn't do it for you, given your opinion on 16 games on Saturday. You know, it doesn't work, man. You need those guys. They want to control everything. They want to get back inside the game. They want to get in the recruiting. They want to be in putting game plans together. They want to go through that whole highs and lows, man. It's an adrenaline. It's a friggin' disease. They need it. I want it. All of them.
But you still don't think it'd be a little fraudulent if you coached
the team next year? No, you do. I don't. He came back. All right. So, changed my mind. Feeling great again. Bored to death. Man, I got the itch to put the guys together and go do it again. And I got a great job. He's going to be hot.
His phone, of course.
His phone and his agent.
Already getting calls.
They're going to get calls to see and there'll be teams. There are teams that are okay with their coaches and going to keep them, but have already called and said, if you're interested, we'll dump this guy in a heartbeat.
Oh, there's only two other coaches in the entire country that are not an upgrade as much as Urban.
I just don't think it's coaches. I don't think they lie. I think he means it today. I'm done. How many times have you done that in your life? You say, that's it. You're in a crappy mood. You're burned out. You're not feeling great. I'm done. Met with the family. They all want me to quit. Got plenty of money in the bank. I'm done. I'm sick of all the crap going on around here. I don't like my boss. And then, you get all rested up. You get bored to death. And all of a sudden, it hits you more and more every day till you finally take it. You come back. John Gruden was out forever.
Oh, you're right.
Of course, he got offered $100 million dollars.
10 digits will get me out of any kind of retirement.
Well, God, man, it's just. I think you throw out all the whether he lied or not when it's coaches. I do. Got the itch to come back.
Well, I'm just used to it with Urban, by the way. Urban has told myths all
the time. Is he really any different than anybody else?
Been a lot of guys. Bigger lies than a lot of people.
Zach, there's been a lot of guys come back.
Yeah. Urban left Florida because he had health issues. 6 months later, he was working. Year after that, he had a coaching job. No more health issues. Now it's more health issues, and he forgot stuff. And
yeah, but he just got through making probably close to somewhere between $40 and $50 million while he coached.
Of course. Well, I'm not ripping the money. I know the money.
He just made a lot of money over the last 7 years.
I just couldn't trust the guy as far as I could throw him.
Hey, by the way, there might be a little money going out the door, too.
Oh, he's got 3 years left in his deal.
There might be a nice little deal where it's not full amount of money.
That contract's through 21.
Ohio State is one of the handful of schools that is cashing.
Yes. Huge checks.
Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go through the whole list. Everybody knows who they are. Alabama's now in there. They're cashing big checks for the school, for the sports department, for the athletic department, everything possible. So, anyway, we got a lot more stuff coming up here. The boogeyman, Bob Bugner, Panther head coach, going to join us coming up about 8 or 9 minutes. I bet he didn't have any trouble getting up early after last night.
No, I don't think he slept.
That's got to be fun, man. When you don't worry about going to overtime, you're sitting there like 30 seconds left, and can we get one more save? Can we clear the puck? And you're going through all this stuff. It's got to be nice to sit back there with about 8 minutes left, and you're up big.
You're 5-0, yeah.
And you're up real big and going, man, this is nice. And the power play, for years around here, we've been terrible on the power play for years.
Yes, you're right.
And all of a sudden, we score every night. Whether you watch the game or you don't, you just go to check out the box score the next day. We are power play scoring machine right now. Two more last night. This Hoffman pickup is going down in one of the great pickups that the Panthers did. Two more goals last night. He was just unbelievable. And boy, Roberto Luongo back. When he's back and he's fresh.
He's really good.
33 saves after taking time to just show up and shut out Boston last night.
Yeah.
I don't care how much help you got in front of you. You got to make some saves. That's pretty impressive.
Is it crazy that the Heat and the Panthers, their entire seasons basically are based off two 30-something-year-olds? Panthers are Luongo and the Heat probably
a lot of it. Nice thing about Panthers, they just don't have 7-foot drama.
No, they don't. You're right.
Got to have a little 7-foot drama.
I didn't see any of their guys leave the bench with a minute left last night.
No.
Just to walk.
I think you have to come back out on the ice to do it and skate around where it'd be real obvious.
Come out, skate, and then walk back.
You got that for us one more time. Give me a little Eric Reed. Give me a little more Eric Reed watching a song.
This couldn't be more awkward, by the way.
With 40 seconds left, and he's sitting there, and the game's over. They're not going to win, and here's what Eric Reed saw at the end of the game.
And Winslow takes the foul. Hassan Whiteside. Well, you see Whiteside leaving the bench, walking into the corridor to the locker room.
Wow, how about that?
How's he
that
doing was. Now?
That'll be a nice topic for everybody around the country.
You think?
Our starting center, pouting, leaving because he didn't play in the fourth quarter again. And instead of going in and talking to coach and blowing up, privately, he decided he wanted everybody nationally, locally, all the fan base to watch him walk slowly off the bench into work on his free throw. At least he got that right.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave and go work on something that you're really suck at right now.
4 for your last 28
free throws.
Right. All right. Bob Bugner from the Florida Panthers head coach. He's going to join us next year on 560 QAM.
Radio.com.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight.
We just won again.
Tension goes, the whistle blows.
Just like how we like it.
We just won again.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Bob Bugner, head coach of the Florida Panthers, joins us. Brought to you by Checkers Old Munchin, Brats, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and lots of German beer. You get all this and more at Checkers Old Munchin, German restaurant in Pompano Beach. Coach, good morning. Love to have you after a big win.
Yeah, always nice after a win.
How nice is that to be sitting on that bench with a couple of minutes to go and not just sitting there hoping you can clear the puck and, oh, no, oh, here we go again, and it's around the goal, it's a one-goal game. That's got to be nice occasionally to happen, huh?
Yeah, as a coach, I mean, we don't get a lot of those. Obviously, the parity in the league is unbelievable, and everybody knows what's happened in the last couple of weeks. We've had games where we've had leads, teams come back, we either win in overtime, we lose, or get a point, or you know. So it's been really tight here and tough in the last few minutes. And Louis was in full control last night. You could see it looked like you build a lead and between the second and third, and you felt comfortable last night that we were gonna lock it down.
Louis. You don't see that happen very often, do you? Where a guy's out, he's not. I mean, it's one thing to practice against shots; it's another in game situation to be that sharp and get a shutout.
Yeah, he looked unbelievable last night. It's like almost when he was hurt and he came back over in Finland and played against Winnipeg there in that game. It reminded me a lot of that game, that just the confidence, the rebound control is the biggest thing I noticed. I think that, there's no second, third opportunities around there. When it hits him, he sucks it in, and that makes us, obviously, you play a different way. You're not scrambling. You're not, worried about clearing in front of the net. It's just the play is over, and that's what he's so good at, and that's what he's been around for so long at, is just basically controlling the blue paint area around his net.
Coach, 77th career shutout. He's now being mentioned with some of the best names ever in NHL history. Forget about on ice. How much does this guy mean just to the team and this franchise in general?
Well, it's to the franchise. I mean, he's been the pillar of it. I think that in between periods, walking by last night, I get in there about 8 minutes before they got to get on the ice in between periods, and then about a minute before we got to get on the ice, I sort of walk through the room on my way out to the on the way out to the hallway to the rink and to the bench, and I could hear Louis talking. Most goalies don't say anything. I can hear Louis talking. What do we need to do this period? He's giving instructions to guys, and that to me, wow. I mean, he's a guy in that room that the guys are listening to.
Did you know he was ready for last night, or were you prepared to give him a few more nights? What was the situation there before the game?
Well, the day before he practiced, and he said he felt good, and he wasn't 100%, of course, but I wanted to have him morning skate yesterday and make the decision after the morning skate. He said he felt good after the morning skate. So, yeah, we knew in the morning that it would be a go for sure. And obviously the players, I think, sort of get their heads around that early, that they want to be good in front of him. He hasn't played in a while, and they want to make sure that they ease him into the game. And the players did a good job of that. We didn't give him a lot in the first period, but, when he needed to make the big save last night, he did.
Mike Hoffman, what can we say about this guy right now outside
of
the fact?
My man Hoffman.
That he's the goal machine right now.
Yeah, Johnny on the spot kind of thing. I mean, he's really obviously turned our power play around. He's lethal there. You can see other teams, what they're trying to do. They're trying to take him away now, which ends up opening up something on the other side for Hubie. But he only needs that one or two chances. He gets that shot off just like last night. It went so hard in and out the net, hardly anybody seen it, and the ref didn't even call it a goal until about 3-4 seconds later. It was a little bit of a delay. So, I mean, he's got a weapon and a shot, and I think that it's helped us really being able to distribute the puck elsewhere on the power play as well.
Coach, this might just be, since I can remember, the best I've ever seen your power play. We talk every week, and they got another goal, two more last night. You're one off being tops in the league right now. How do you explain it overall? And I know you just talked about a big part of it with Hoffman, but what has happened? The confidence must be ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot of confidence, and I'll tell you, there's three or four little things that are all going well on it. One, Barkov in the faceoff circle. I mean, his percentage on the power play of one draw. So you're starting with the puck, number one. Two, we're doing a real good job on retrieving pucks. So once we get a shot, there's a rebound. We're doing a real good job of outnumbering and getting the puck back, so we're not having to chase it 200 feet again. Our entries have been good, and again, just the execution, the confidence, like you said, I think guys feel good about themselves, and we're snapping it around, and we got three or four different looks on that power play, all depending what penalty kill we're going to see that night. So, you know, we study it, we watch film, the guys are into it, and they're enjoying, you know, scoring goals, obviously. So, you know, they're real detailed right now, and I mean, it's helping us win games.
Last night, late in the game, it was a nasty hit on Bukestad. Nasty. Like, it looks like the guy, like, kind of jumped up and hit him a little bit. Would that piss off a lot of guys on the bench?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I seen the replay. Yeah, it looked like he got up in the air a little bit, and Bugie had his head down, and he got his bell rung there. And, I mean, I think that at the end of the game, I know Michael Haley went out and, you know, said a few things to the to the kid that hit him. I'm sure that he didn't want to mess with Hales or whatever. But, you know, guys are sticking up for each other, getting in there. They're taking hits to make plays. Barkey got hit hard last night. But, you know, we've been a good physical team ourselves in the last probably 2 weeks. And getting back to a little bit of a sandpaper gritty style that we've seen in the second half last year, guys sticking up for each other. And, you know, I like that identity that we have right now, that we're playing a 200-foot game, and we're, you know, we're playing hard and we're competing hard for each other.
Coach, you think there's enough? We talk about this in the NFL all the time. Do guys respect each other enough not to take cheap shots, or is it, you know, because everybody knows about the concussion in the NHL and the NFL that you guys deal with, and injuries and cheap shots and high shots when guys don't see them coming. Have they done a better – is the league doing a better job overall, players respecting players?
I think so. I know for sure that, you know, our guys at least, I mean, you know, around the league, I think you're never going to get completely rid of it. It's such a fast game, and the guys are so big, and everybody's trying to play hard, obviously. So.
Right.
Sometimes in the heat of the battle, it's not going to be perfect, but yeah, I think it's cleaned up. I mean, guys are, you know, worried about obviously paying tens of thousands of dollars in fines. Number one, two, obviously losing games for their own team, but not too many guys now. You can see when they're going in, especially when the guy's got his back turned. In the old days, there was no holdups and there was no obstruction. So if you had a beat on a guy, you're going full speed. Now you have to be careful of that. So I think the league's done a pretty good job. And you know, it has cleaned up quite a bit.
And the other question I have for you there, old school, is payback still there from stuff that happened, like in baseball? Something happened a month ago, and somebody hit somebody. Like, guys don't forget. They go, "Oh, we got him tonight. Let's get him." Is that still around and going strong in the NHL? A little payback if something cheap, like if it came out of Montreal or something, would that be on somebody's mind later on? I'm just throwing out Montreal just
you
as
want,
a.
You want me to make a comment on that, don't you? Trying to get me in trouble.
I don't do that. I don't get coaches fined on this show.
No.
Not as a player. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure things stick in their mind. But for me, you know, honestly, and this is completely honest, as a coach, I mean, it's every friggin' point is so important right now that you can't afford to go out there and worry about even in scores. You got to get the points in the bank, and you know, and the players sort of police themselves and that kind of a thing.
Right.
We don't worry about it too much as a coaches.
Two more left on this homestand. You got Colorado Thursday night, and you got the Rangers on a Saturday night. Then you go on the road for a couple of games. How important are these last two at home?
Yeah, we've done a pretty good job. I think we've collected 8 out of 12 so far at home, and you know, you kick yourself in the butt because there's a couple points that we let slip away. But all in all, we got to finish it off hard here. Colorado's a good team. They're coming in with the number one offensive line in McKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog. Obviously, their power play is on fire, so it's a good challenge. And the Rangers are a team, I believe, that are sitting in that 8th spot, playoff spot. We're 2 points behind with a game in hand, so it's a huge 4-point game on Saturday against the Rangers, so it'd be nice to finish this homestand off on a positive note, and then we get to go to St. Louis and Minnesota. But I like where we're at. I like how we're playing. You know, knock on wood, Louis stays healthy. We're a different team, obviously, when he's in, and we're battling. I mean, it hasn't been easy with Troch out, and you got guys like Jared McCann and Lamico, and guys that are playing up a spot or two in our lineup, but they're battling hard for each other, and we just got to keep that compete up and that identity up.
Do you have a little coffee? Boy, you are jacked up this morning.
You just won a big game last night.
No, but I think he went home, got a little sleep. He got a big dinner before. I think the wife made him a little big dinner last night. He went right to sleep, man. He's rested up today.
She did make me something when I got home. I had a nice bourbon on the rocks. And
There it is.
I had 2 Dunkin' Donuts this morning.
Coach, players been staying out of the Ubers, right? That's the number one rule on the wall?
No okay. Uber, man.
Sure. Coaches.
Yep. Coaches, right. too. Yeah, that's it. All right, Coach, thanks so much. We'll talk to you
again
next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah. That was Bob Bugner, head coach of the Florida Panthers, joining us, brought to you by Checkers, Old Munch and Bratz, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and lots of German beer. You get all this and more at Checkers, Old Munch and German restaurant in Pompano Beach. Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald going to join us at the top of the hour.
Radio.com. Radio.com.